Here in Parakeet, Kahalas grapples again with the Shaila which he raised earlier, but which now, after Parak Zion, when it comes to the Yesodos Yerim, he finds it easier to cope with. And that is the question that sof kol sof, when a person looks around, it's very, very difficult to see the toil, the yehudim of the Torah. I mean, ideally, if we learn Chumash, somebody would have learned Chumash, and then some on Mars, then he would have come down to this world, he would have expected to find a world which is radically different from the one which we actually experience. He would have expected to come down here, and he would have seen a lot of people driving around in Mercedeses and having beautiful homes and walls, fields, everything like just gorgeous, and you would check into that, and that itself would be a proof that these were the people who were keeping the mitzvahs, and were doing chassodim, were putting on tefillin every day, and were learning Torah. Then you would see a lot of people around being sick and being tortured by their enemies and having a miserable life out of it, and that would have been a in and of itself a proof. It would be bad, and they weren't keeping the mitzvahs of Hashem. And life would be very, very simple. That is what our friend, the Martian, would have expected to find. But as we very well know, that's not what we find. We all know one or two people who don't drive Mercedes. And whatever else is regarded as good or desirable, it's just not the way the Torah pictures it. So, what do we do? Well, the question can disturb us at a number of levels. We can ask the question, not answer, it's not answer. That he can suffer, the show and prosper. So intellectually, a person can have a problem with that. Hey, shouldn't be this way. Why does this happen to this person? Not fair. So that's a question which we've come across before. And we found that there are answers, not answers, whatever it is. In all the Sodom, the Torah, we have an answer, Mashal and Messiah of Hakon of La Vida, there is Sitra in the Vua, and the Suvim, we have answers. We have answers why things don't, not as simple as it said in the Torah. So that's one level of concern. Namely, the intellectual level. I have to cope with the contradiction. I have to cope with the skill. The Torah says one thing. The facts show a different thing. We've got a kashya. The kashya is not a filter. Because that's a reason. Not always easy to find the terrorist. Sometimes I'm quite convinced that the terrorist is beyond us. Can't understand everything that goes on. Sure. We know that there are answers. But the problem exists at a different level also. And that is that even if I can make peace with the idea that there are answers, intellectually I know that everything is beyond Hashem and that the Vayishon doesn't do any injustice. We know that that's not so. We know that everything is the same. We'll all come out right at the end. Shuv Hashem, Shiva Sion, and Yinu Solomon, we can look back. We could see that everything was a halayim. All the blurrings and uncertainties and ambiguities would all turn out to have worked out beautifully at this time. But man is not simply an intellectual being. Not many times, knowing that there's logic behind it isn't really enough for the person. Not much fixed. Because, okay, so there is an answer, but even so, it hurts me to see the Rishonim prosper. Certainly hurts me to see Tzaddikim suffer. What to do? In other words, how does a person cope with the sort of yish that can set in when he sees that his most strenuous effort to be good and to do what he's supposed to be doing, to act the way he's supposed to be acting, don't seem to be rewarded and crowned with success? A lot of times a person finds that he tries hard, really tries to be good, he does what he's supposed to be doing, he thinks he tries what he's supposed to be doing, he thinks he's doing what he ought to be doing, and he suffers. So sometimes an answer isn't enough for such a person, because his pain is not in a place which will be assuaged by logic. And that's what Kohelet is asking over here. What to do? Skolze nosati as libi v'lovu skolze asher tzadikim v'achachomim v'avdeim v'yatra elakim. So the first insight we have to know is that they're all v'yatra elakim. There is nothing in this world that happens without the Rebbein Shams Haskana. It's all v'yatra elakim. That's the insight number one. And whatever matzavim a person finds himself, it's not always possible to define it. But he knows one thing, that is b'yad elokim. So that's a sort of an intellectualism. The Rebbein Shem is looking after us. Obasav kosav, hakoil kashel, hakoil, like, everybody seems to be equal in what's happening to him. Mikra echad, there seems to be one happening, la tzadik v'la rosha, la toy v'la toha, v'la tome, v'la zaveyach, v'la sha'ein al zaveyach, hatov kachote, hanishba kasha shvu yore. Everybody, same thing happens to everybody. You see it, sof kol sof. Even if we occasionally see, oh, this Rosha, he really got his just desserts. You see it, the Rosha gets killed. All right, so it's nice. Gives one a feeling of the Mishpatei Hashem, but we know perfectly well that around the corner there was another tzaddik, and he was killed. Maybe by the same bomb which killed the Rosha. It was a tzaddik. We don't see mathematically that there's a difference. The tzaddik, the Rosha, the Toiv, the Tome, the Zaveh, the Eino Zaveh. If you take an average, you would take a statistics of all the tragedies, let's say, that happened in the past years, even those that impinge on our consciousness, in our little world. And you'd make a chart, you'd make a graph. You probably wouldn't find that Rishon suffered any more than Tzaddikim, or that Tzaddikim prospered any better than Rishon. We wouldn't find that. So in Gimel, he allowed himself sort of to ask this guy, is there law for Kol HaShanaset HaFas HaShon? But the Tachas HaShemesh, when we look at life in a sub-sun attitude, in a sort of an Olam HaZedek way, Ki mikro echad lakol, v'kam leiv b'nei odam mo le'ra, v'hoilelus v'vorem b'chayem v'achav v'lameisim. It's not good. It's not good because mikro echad lakol, you see that the same thing happens to everybody. And so, from observing life, people don't become Yiresha Maya. But it's all life. Everybody gets rewarded by return mail, a mitzvah gets rewarded with star, and Avera gets rewarded with punishment, and everybody would see exactly the Yad Hashem, it would be so much easier. And then people would become big Yiresha Maya, like he was. You see right away. You see, you do a mitzvah, you're a matzliach, and you do an Avera, you get punished, that's easy enough. But the way things are, why? Because there's the kind of feeling that nothing much matters, nothing much makes any difference. So, what's Takaday say? So if we make peace with the fact that we're not going to get all the answers. So, what's Takaday say? Where does the truth lie? Now the process of Mishnah says, just remember the following. Ki mi asher yuchuba kol hachayim yesh bitachon. Ki mekel of chay betov al yeh hames. This perek over here now is the song of Shevach. The song of Shevach to life. As long as a person is alive, and that's what a person should tell himself. Never mind the answers. The answers, except in a very general way, like it says in Pasuk Aleph, but it's all the Yad Elokim, in a specific way, we're not going to know the answers. Rochem came over the other day and asked, we wanted to know Plotin, Hezbollah, right? You know, like you can ask the Kashya 500 times, 5 million times. They asked it first because nowadays, like we're still fresh in our minds, some Rylan puts 10 tons of dynamite into a truck and crashes into Bible shrine, yeah? Suddenly 250 Marines are all sleeping happily, get blown to bits. Now, what's the pshat? Were they good? Were they bad? Were they all bad? If you wanted to know the protein of the Hashgacha. So I told them all of them, I mean, I discussed them a little bit, but I thought that's the MS of a situation such as that. But I told them over. I had a conversation once, I was learning in Lakewood still. So, once for a weekend, a younger came, a Sabbath came, a young Bokhi was 14, 15 at the time, I guess. He came for a visit. And after his visit, his mother asked me, you know, what did he do? Did he have a learning? Did he do? So I told her, about Sheva, very, very good. And I told him about, you know, when he came to the Shiva, and there was a Shiva, there was a Sabbath, and he said the Shiva, very, very, complicated shiurim. So I said, he didn't understand. Too young. So his mother said to me a very wise thing, which I remember always. And I can sing it because it's an important insight to remember. She said, I should hope that he didn't understand it. It would have been pretty awful if he would have understood it. So I asked her, why was the child like that? She said, very little. No, Kotlov is famous throughout the world for his kindness, calmness. So he said, if a 14-year-old Schnitz could understand the Shir, right? So it can't be worth much, right? In other words, if a youngster like that could Tucker understand it, then what can be so great about it? Anything which a kid can understand isn't so profound. Simply at 14, 15, your mind isn't developed enough to be able to grasp really profound subtleties. And I thought that was like a very, very well said yesod. You don't expect to understand the real subtle profundities when you're not trained for it. So I told him over this myself, and I said, look, if we can't understand the Shia from a big Rosh Hashiva, So we don't have to ask ourselves kashyas if we don't understand the shir from the Rabbani Shalom. It's a shver shir. Right? I mean, we should mourn by ourselves that the intricacies of the hanhoga of the Rabbani Shalom, that we should have our voice like, for instance, yeda shver rambam, the shver enough. That's a whole richtige side. We don't understand everything, and we can't expect to understand everything. We don't have to say, different. Rabbani Shalom didn't give us an answer book that you get in Algebra 2, or whatever it is, right? You get your book of problems, and in the back you have the answer. The Torah is not an answer book on life that you can flip a page and say, well, this comes under category X or this comes under category Y. It works like that. Torah was megalitzas. Certain amitias offered to understand the sheer in its entire complexity, that is not right. You don't understand. You don't understand. Nirgitara. Just like it didn't shlug up the Rosh Hashiva's sheer, that Yingel didn't understand it. So Rosh Hashiva's sheer is also not augeschlagen because we don't understand it. Oh, but what do we do? What we do is to grab onto life and to grab onto hope and to not, Chas v'Shalom, in any way succumb to Yish. That's what we do. That is the very, very, very important lesson which Kehelet is teaching us over here. You may have kashyas, but that's okay. But one thing remember, that as long as you're in Mechuba El Hachayim Yesh B'Tachon, life is synonymous with hope. Yilekelev Chai Hutov Menu Al Yehames. A living dog is better than a dead life. That's a machine of the Gezer. The concept of life. Life itself, time itself, is such an unbelievable thing. Because the Torah wrote the Emes, that everything else being equal, that is the Ratzon Hashem. Mitzvahs are good, Aveiros are bad. And goodness and badness expresses itself not only in the life of Hashem, but in the life of Olam Hazeh too. Right? That is when everything else is equal. But when everything else is not equal, things change. Right? So there are cheshbonos and there are counter cheshbonos. But what the Torah is telling us is the theory. The theory is that mitzvahs grant life. I mean the theory, the practice of that is too. Yeah? Sometimes there's a counter cheshbonos. But if you define a mitzvah, the Torah tells us, realize that mitzvah equals life. Define it with avera, realize that avera equals. There may be a reason to kill somebody ought to be alive, and maybe a reason to keep somebody alive ought to be dead. But that is what a mitzvah is, that's what my favorite is. The value of life, that's an unbelievable thing. In this context, I could ask you a question, Adam, the Chabura was sending the light, and discussing an Indian, which one of these days all of you will be grappling with also. Very interesting Indian. Ask him, Shailen, find that Torah children, having children is a blessing. Nobody in the world who doesn't want to have children. And there you find by the Goyim. And they get married, they decide they're not going to have any children because they both like tennis and they get in the way. Aber man redet doch human beings. People want children, they regard children as a blessing. I asked, what is so good about kids? You don't know that, but either they can be an awful show, you know, they can get up in the middle of the night and cry for hours. You've got to walk the floors with them. But what's so great about having children? Why are children a blessing? Why does the Torah present children, having children, as a blessing? More children. What's so great about having children? No, who's got some ideas? Continuing the life cycle, touching eternity, right? In other words, you project yourself, you go on, right? Is that what you think? Completing the chain. Well, you're continuing. Giving up oneself. You know what I was saying? Okay. Anybody got any other thoughts about it? Yeah. Chutzpah l'yodo, morah l'kluga. In your old age. Chutzpah l'yodo, morah l'kluga. Children look after their parents. Yeah? An opportunity to do a lot of chesed. Ah, the husband doesn't get mad at you. You can always say the kids broke the vase. Yeah, okay, that's a Thomas. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Still in all, is that really the... I don't know whether people really... You know, once you got them, you can use them. But is that why people are so... No, never come all... not always... People have children right away, sometimes people have trouble having children, you know, they get very sad and very, you know, they go from doctor to doctor, yes. I doubt that it's because of the ways. So what's the problem? So, who's right among the answers which we gave? Well, of course it's a silly question. Yeah? Of course everybody's right. But I think that there's a more profound truth. See, all these truths are, of course, true. But I think that there's a more profound truth than that. And I gave them a moshul to try and illustrate what I meant. I gave them a moshul, and I asked them a funny question. I asked you the question, too. I had fun thinking about it, maybe. I asked them like this. What would you do if tomorrow a piska fell down from heaven? Baruch Hashem sent a message, Allah, from Novi. And he would tell us, for 1 week there's a moratorium. You don't have to keep the title. Everything's free on the house for 1 week. You do what you want. No Tzimtzum HaLev, nothing bad will happen. You have a 1 week vacation from everything. What would you do? How do you spend the week? Ever thought about them? I remember when I was a kid in Yeshiva and get to the Masgiyah Seder Tzadol Ezra, I asked that once to Shaila. He was talking to us about the Ramban. But the novel, the Rishus HaTayron, no one on Kedoshim, and one talks about that. Mitzvah Kedoshim is be a mensch. In other words, don't do disgusting things, even if they're mutter as the Torah. But what would we do if there would be a 1 week moratorium? And we could do exactly what we want. Well, I guess everybody has his own thing about what he would do. I don't think anybody would go out and do kinds of horrible things. I mean, nobody enjoys being a mother, and nobody wanted to do ugly things anyway. So I told him what I would do. Now, who wants to guess? What? Cheeseburger.
I bet you wouldn't know. You wouldn't. I don't even know what I would do. I don't know. But now, standing from where I am, I figured that that's what I'd like to do. I told him I'd like to go out and commit a lot of murders. It's okay. It's nothing. Got a week. So who do I want to murder? Present company excluded. Nobody here. So I would have wanted to take a syringe, or one of those things, yeah, and go around and commit euthanasia. And it makes a lot of sense. Any of you have ever been in an old age home, in a hospital for incurables, you see a lot of people where, I don't know about you, but where I certainly have the feeling that if it wouldn't be for the Xeris Akosov, it would be so much nicer to be able to let them die quietly. There are people over there, they suffer so much, without any kind of anything, no pleasure in life, just a lot of bitterness and pain, and just horrible. Really, really horrible. Very, very horrible. See that, you know, it is like that. There comes a point in people's lives, some people are blessed and they can spend their waning years in relative comfort and happiness, and when time comes to die, they die without these kind of going through these kind of horrors. But many people are not like that. They're terrible, you sue them, and they're not strong enough anymore mentally or physically to take them. And there's just nothing left to their lives. So what would be nicer than to go around, take a hypodermic and inject them with whatever it is that stops the heart and finish in a moment? So the terrorist says, what stops us? The terrorist. I figured I got a week off. That's what I would. Well, the big question is, since it's unlikely that this moratorium is going to come about, why does the Torah disagree with me? Because the Torah says something quite different. The Torah says that's murder. By Sirtza. And you do that, and somebody tells you, listen, this guy is suffering so much, why don't you want to put him out of his pain? So I'm a chuyuf to let myself be killed rather than do that. A strange reason. My chuz is the dom of the dov sum kutzfer. My dom of the day sum kutzfer. Well, I could tell you a lot of reasons. Yeah? I'm young, I'm strong, I'm active, I'm creative, I'm all kinds of things. Right? And this person is nothing of all that. Completely passive, just suffering. Wants nothing more than to be put out of his pain. So my dom is sum kutzfer. That's the answer. You want to ask me, my father is the dom of the dov sum kutzfer. That's the answer. Is it a good answer? No. Taylor says it's klum should be klum. Not amos. Not allowed to. Was steht da in der Taylor? Why am I klum? I would hope, although I don't know whether it's true, I would hope that the emes is now that I know that I'm wrong, so even if there would be a moratorium, I would hope maybe I wouldn't do it. Because, I see I'm wrong. Just like I hope I wouldn't do a lot of other things which are be'etz, I'm wrong, and I wouldn't do them even if there were a moratorium. But why am I taka wrong? What's taka so great? And there's only one answer. And that is that life seems to be its own justification. That's our pasuk. Ki mi asher yuchuba el achayim, yesh tikva. What tikva? Hope in the sense that, well, maybe there'll be a cure, or maybe something will happen. The state says that there are stages of illness where people have never very serious illnesses, and that's always true. There's always the possibility that something will turn up. But there are people who past that stage, and where nothing much is going to cure them anymore. So, but they're mechuba el achayim. Tikva for what? We don't know. But they are a merkava for the Shechina. They are a chunk of godliness. And that seems to be its own justification. Now, is that the life, Bashahu life, is in itself of infinite value. And it doesn't need me to infer it, that I can find a justification for it because you're doing this person good, or you're doing that person good, or you're having this experience or that experience, or you're being creative in this area or useful in that area. That's a bunch of baloney. Life does not need any justification outside itself. Yipach ba'apach nishmas chayim. Chazal say that the man the nofach, the lay nofach, there's a bit of godliness in a person. And that metzias of life is its own justification. You don't need to understand that. That's what I told my chavra. That's why having children is such a blessing. You see, the things that you said are all emes. Sure, they're emes. But they are peripheral to the emes. They're not the emes itself. They're true. Those are bonuses. But the etzem bracha is to be an agent for life. Life itself is the greatest value. That's the yesod of the mitzvah of kibud av va'em. Maral points out that throughout the Torah, you always have the mitzvah of kibud av va'em right next to Shabbos, right? In Aseres HaDibros, you have Zochas Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh, Kabed Es Avicha V'Simcha. In Kedoshim, Ish Ima V'Oviv Tirohu, V'Shavsoi Sai Tishmoiru. Shabbos and Kibbut Avraham go together. Because Shabbos, we recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam as a Boire, and in Kibbut Avraham, we recognize our parents as Boire, as creators. Rav Yosef, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Ki have shoma kare de ime de azla. When he heard his mother coming, he used to say, Ekum mikame shchinta de azla. I want to get up before the shchina, which is approaching. I mean that his mother is God, but he saw in his mother the creative force which put him in this world. There's a Maral, I think, in Netzach Yisrael, who discusses why the mother, not the father. I didn't understand it last time I saw it, and I don't know what he says. But I know I was mine, and at one time, and I couldn't understand what he said. So there seems to be, in this creative process, there seems to be a mila of the mother or the father. I'm not sure why. But the yesod is that the parents are boyim. Parents are life-generating beings. And if the peak of human accomplishment is to be as godlike as possible, to be hoylach in the darkei Hashem, which means to be as godlike as possible, then the peak of that is the moment at which parents create life and have children. That's the ultimate greatness. Ki mi asher yechubah el hachayim yesh tikvah. Kelev hachay v'toyv min ha'aryeh hames. That's in Rishon HaBikazach. I find Sadhikam a lot of times have a lot of physical fear of things. And I was together with the Rosh Hashiva once, with the one Rosh Hashiva, and a little dog came running. He got very, very afraid. Afraid of a dog. Lots of things like that. I think that the reason is very simple. About the Goyim, you have a musuk of bravery. You climb Everest. So and so many people get killed. It's dangerous. It's a challenge. Like, in the culture in which we live, bravery, physical bravery, is valued. Not the risk of life and limb. Half the medical profession would go out of business without the skiing, right? Everybody breaks their legs, and all the doctors are happy, right? So why do you ski? People, they're trained not to be physically afraid. Physical fear is looked down on. You're a ninny. You're afraid. That's not a Jewish concept. Life is very, 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 very precious. And you don't risk it. And I think that that's the side of this physical fear which you see sometimes in Sadiqim. The posh is afraid because life is very, very precious. You don't risk it. You don't climb a mountain if it means risking that you fall down. Versteht sich? When it really counts, when it's not a question of climbing a mountain, but a question of keeping a mitzvah, the Shem Shemayim, the fear disappears. That's what life is given for. That's what we're here for. Or when you don't gratuitously risk life, don't gratuitously risk life. Here we come to a commercial. I always feel a terrible thing. Sometimes I give rides to somebody in a car. I ask them to put on seatbelts. I don't bother. That's a terribly un-Jewish Goyishe Musik. Terrible. That's a chunk of Goyishkeit. Because the Torah is worked under. Well, it says, I give you a very precious thing. You don't throw it away. It's foolish. Ditto for speeding in cars. Being careless. Don't do that. And people do it, if the pshat is, that's one other aspect of being vergeuscht. I want to show that I'm brave. I want to show that I'm not scared. I'm not tricked. Lo yitochen and more goyish and musik than that. Because there you're mamish being pregea in the basic yisoida sticker. The side of Yiddishkeit, that Chayim is the most precious gift which the Rebbeinu gave us. And you don't fool around with it. Not with your own, not with anybody else's. Very, very different. So what Koheles is saying is the intellectual answers to the Tzaddikim and the Rishoim and the Zaveach and the Eina Zaveach, that the same thing happens to all of them. No, you find an answer. We find an answer. We know the answer, we won't know the answer. But if you feel depressed about it, just remember that in whatever matzav you find yourself, whether your efforts have been greeted with the amount of success which you deserve or whether they haven't, but remember, as long as you're thinking about it, you're alive. And that is the most precious gift of all. There is tikva. Every second of life, every second of being alive, you can do something about it. That is the yisoid which he teaches us over here. Yachayim yoidim shiyomusu. That's okay. That's zrizus. We had at the beginning of the Megillah. Yidden aren't afraid of dying.